Where do you go when life doesn't make sense? When the bottom drops out and you can't figure out what in the world's going on? Some people decide that just being by themselves is the best place to be. But being alone isn't going to change the situation. It's not going to give you an answer because you don't have the answer. Other people will immerse themselves in the company of friends, and certainly that can be good. But they're in the same boat as you. They are limited in their intelligence. They can only see what has happened, what is happening, but they can't see the future. And some friends aren't the best counselors. Ask Job, if you could. He had three friends that came and visited with him for a week and provided no help whatsoever. Some will run off to the medical community and seek to find an answer to their problems. They will probably be diagnosed with depression, given all kinds of psychoactive drugs to combat the problem. But that's just a Band-Aid. Not that it's not helpful, but it just cures the symptoms and never cures the cause of the problem. With this thing that I came down with, I had fever and chills the other day, and the doctor said to me, "Well, take some aspirin." Now, I don't like to think that I'm smarter than a doctor when it comes to the issues of health. But an aspirin might break the fever for a time, but it doesn't cure it. Something is in my body that's causing a fever. I want to get rid of that thing. So I persuaded them to give me some heavy-duty amoxicillin. And I got some amoxicillin. Anyway, don't ask my wife about me and amoxicillin, because she'll give you a different story than what the truth is. But anyway, I got some amoxicillin in me and the fever broke and it hasn't come back. Nonetheless, where should a person go when life doesn't make sense? May I say to you, the best, and for that matter, the only place that is helpful is to be alone with God. Daniel was in such a precarious position. He had received a number of revelations concerning the future of the nation of Israel. And as we come to Daniel chapter 10 this morning, he receives another one. And I would have you open your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 10. We want to look at this. This vision actually is recorded for us in chapter 11 and 12. Chapter 10 is kind of a prelude to it, but it's a very important prelude. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, which would be 536 B.C., 2 years after his previous vision, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And Daniel received another vision from God. He understood what the thing meant. The symbolism was very clear in it. There was no need to decipher the thing. He understood that it was going to take place over a period of time, but it was distressing. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, the word mourning there may include crying, but it has the idea of being upset more than anything else. It is consistently translated in the Old Testament as lamenting. And basically what it was is he was going around saying, this is not good, this is bad, this doesn't make sense. He was lamenting the situation about what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. Consequently, verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. For a period of 3 weeks, Daniel basically got by on the bare necessities of life. He ate a little. It doesn't mean that he completely fasted here, that he ate no flesh or pleasant bread, but it was just enough to get by. He didn't anoint himself. Basically, there was no Old Spice applied to Daniel during those 3 weeks. It wasn't a pretty situation. He was not concerned with the normalcy of life, this took precedence over it. Verse 4, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Hufaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Daniel comes face to face with a person here. The question is, who is this person that he is left alone with? Two possibilities exist. One is that it is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that is the correct one. Now, let me give you a couple of reasons why. Now, the second possibility is that it was just a mighty angel. And I'll get into that in just a second. But look in verse 5 here concerning the description of this person. And I'll put it up on the screen here. First of all, well, that's interesting. Not the way I think this virus entered into my PowerPoint program. His clothing was of linen. His loins were girded with gold. He had a body like beryl. His face was like lightning. His eyes were like lamps of fire. His arms and his feet had the color of brass. His voice was like a multitude of people. And in response to his voice, Daniel lost all strength. Now, keep your finger here in Daniel chapter 10. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Here, without question, is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ that Daniel sees in heaven. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now notice the description of the person here. His clothing was a garment. It doesn't say it was linen, but nonetheless, there's some similarity there. He was girded about the paps or the chest area with a golden girdle. Well, this is saying of the person in Daniel that his loins were girded down here. Well, probably that's the same thing. Nothing about his body, but his head and hair were white. Let me ask you this question. What color is lightning? White. That's how we see it. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were of brass. His voice of many waters. That sounds like a multitude. And when John saw this person, he lost all strength. Would you say that there's a strong possibility that the person in Revelation chapter 1 is the same person found in Daniel chapter 10? I would suggest to you that they are one and the same. Now, the problem with that, and come back to Daniel chapter 10, if you would, please, and drop on down to verse 12. And there is a problem here. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Here is this person who, on his way to bring Daniel an understanding of what was to take place, was hindered by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. This is, without question, a reference to a demonic spirit that was seeking to influence the king of Persia concerning the treatment of the Jews. And this person was withstood for 21 days. And the question that this was Christ is brought in three things, actually. Could an evil angel actually withstand Jesus and prevent him from coming to Daniel for 21 days? I mean, all Jesus would have to do is say, be out of the way, and that would be done. It doesn't seem reasonable that if this was Jesus, that he could be detained for 21 days. Wouldn't an evil angel be too terrified to stand in the presence of God? I mean, let's face it, they know who Jesus is. And to actually stand in front of God and withstand God, that doesn't sound right. And then Michael comes along here and aids this person in withstanding this prince of the kingdom of Persia. God doesn't need the help of angels to accomplish his will. What's going on here? Well, there are answers to these objections. First of all, God could have overcome evil the very moment it appeared on earth, but he has permitted it for ages. Let's face it, back in the very beginning of creation, when Lucifer revolted, God could have said, okay, that's it, you're done. When Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden, God could have said, that's it, you're done, and started all over again. Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and the people of Israel were rebelling down below, and God said, I am going to wipe them out. And Moses said, well, God, don't you have a better plan? God could have done that, but he permitted evil to exist. Now, why? That's the question. But God has a plan, and as we look at God's plan from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God has a perfect plan. We may not always understand how the individual things work out, but we know that in the end it will work out and will ultimately be perfect. Secondly, Satan was not too terrified to stand in the presence of God in order to assault Job. Remember in the book of Job how all the angelic host was called before God, and God said specifically to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan was up there and he said, yeah, but he's only serving you because you've blessed his life. Take away the blessing and he'll curse you to your face. God said, give it your best shot. In the wilderness, in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan stood before God the Son and tempted him three times. No problem there. God allowed it. It, in the end, proved his deity. But God allowed that for a specific purpose. And it is true that God does not need the help of angels to accomplish his will, but sometimes God chooses to use angels to accomplish his will. At the end of the temptation, after Christ had fasted for 40 days, it says that the angels came and ministered unto him. Well, Satan himself said, look, if you're the Son of God, you can change these stones into bread. Go ahead and do it. And he could have. He didn't need the angels to minister to him, but yet God used those angels. In the end of time, at the end of the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there's a sheep-goat judgment, and it says that the angels shall separate the nations. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ could do that. He doesn't need the angels to do that, but he chooses to use the angels. So these objections that this was something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, just a mighty angel, seem to have an answer to them. I believe that the one that Daniel came in contact with here and was all alone with was none other than God himself, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what happens. Verse 8, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. People have the idea that to be alone with God oftentimes would just be a wonderful thing. You know, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, let's tailgate. You know, the Steelers game is coming on, and we'll have a party. We'll sit back in our recliners, and we'll enjoy the game, and everything will be just cozy. That's not what happened. Some people have the idea that if they could be alone with God, they could give him a piece of their mind that they can't afford to lose. They would tell God where he went wrong in his plan for time. That's not a good idea. Now, it is fine to ask God, and we'll see Daniel asking God for an explanation of time. But not, God, where did you go wrong? But God, where did I go wrong in my understanding of your will? And there remained no strength in him. He was literally face down as a dead person. Well, you say, wait a minute, dead people, when they're in the funeral home, they're face up. They're looking for heaven. Not in Old Testament times. When a person died in Old Testament times, they were going down. A place of paradise for the saved, but a place of torment for the lost. But they were still heading down. Daniel was face down. He was as good as death, but notice, he could still hear the word of God. At that point, verse 10 is interesting. And behold, a hand touched me. This is the first of three places where Daniel is touched by the hand of God. And I think all three are very interesting. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Now picture that, if you will. Knees, palms. What is he doing? He's in a position of worship. The first thing in understanding what in the world God is doing in time is to be placed in a position of worship. Daniel recognized that the one he was standing before was Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the sovereign of the universe. And that hand put him in a place and a position to worship. I heard the voice of his words, and I heard then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He put me in a place where I would recognize his greatness. And when I recognized his greatness, he spoke to me of the greatness of his love for me. That's important. When a person recognizes the majesty of God, his infinite wisdom, his absolute holiness, they are caused to worship. And when people worship God, they will understand how great the love of God is. You see, you really don't understand how great God's love is until you first understand how great your sin is. If you minimize your sin, you will minimize God's love for you. If you understand the totality of your sin, then God's love becomes infinite, as it really is. He put him in a place of worship. Daniel recognized the greatness of God, and then he heard the word of God's greatness of his love for him. And he said, I'm come. I want you to stand up. I want you to listen to me. I want to speak face to face with you. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I want you to know that from the very first moment you desire to understand from me, your word was getting through. And I could have come the very first instant. But some things were going on in the heavenlies. We got a battle going on out there. We sometimes get caught up in the realities of life and forget that there are realities in the heavenlies. There is a battle going on between God and the devil, between the angels of God and the demons of Satan for control of this earth. And God is saying to Daniel here, I was interceding. You're concerned about the welfare of your people, and I was actively involved in preserving them. There was a prince of the kingdom of Persia that was trying to get to the real king of Persia and cause problems for your people. I was withstanding him. Oh, he might have been trying to withstand me, but I was preventing him from doing what he wanted to do. And when Michael came along, we overcame the situation, and now I am come to make thee understand. The delay was because God was doing something that you couldn't even conceive. Verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. I became speechless, not dumb as ignorant, but unable to speak. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of man touched my lips. There's the second act of being touched by God. First, he was touched and put on a position to worship. Secondly, he was touched and his mouth was opened to speak with God. Someone has said that oftentimes the dumb opened their mouths to speak when the wise keep their mouths closed. Here Daniel was dumb. He kept his mouth closed, but God touched it and opened it so that he could speak. May I say to you, the second thing that is necessary in being alone with God is not only to be in a position of worship, but a practice of prayer. He talked with God. I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? The things that I have seen just have taken everything that is in me out of me. I am heartbroken over what is going to transpire for the people of Israel. And now I am standing before the Creator of the universe. How can I speak with you and present my request? And by the touch of God, Daniel was capable of doing it. I think Daniel was awed by the ability to stand and present his supplications and know that there is a God that loves him. Verse 18, there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. This is the third touch. There was a position of worship, there was the practice of prayer, and there was the promise of strength. He strengthened me. Daniel, I've got work for you to do. Verse 19, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Daniel, you're standing there trembling. I know it's not going to be easy. I know the future does not look good. But stop fearing. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Daniel, I want you to go. And while the immediate outlook isn't good, understand that I have the world under my control. My plan is being accomplished. You do what you're supposed to do. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. The hand of God resting upon me has strengthened me, has invigorated me. While today might not be the brightest of days, I know that tomorrow will be, because God is accomplishing his purposes. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Daniel, I'm going to go away. I'm going to let you in on what the word of God says about the future. I'll make things clear to you. But understand, I've got work to do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to keep your people safe as long as they're under the Medo-Persian Empire. And as already had been revealed to Daniel, after the Medo-Persians would come the Greeks. And guess what? There would be a prince of the Greeks that would try to influence the human kings of Greece to annihilate the people of the Jews. And Jesus said, don't worry, I'm going to protect you through them. And along in time would come the Romans and the various different people since then and the revived Roman Empire that will come in time. But Daniel, you go your way now that you're strengthened, accomplished what you're supposed to accomplish, and I will do my thing. Daniel was touched 3 times by the hand of God. You say, Pastor, that would be neat. I'd love to be touched by the hand of God. How can I do that? Wait a minute. How many would say that would be neat? I'd like to be touched by the hand of God. Oh my goodness, I thought every hand would go up. Wouldn't you like to be touched by the hand of God? To be put in a position of worship, to be strengthened for service, to have a regular practice of prayer? I think that should be the desire of every Christian. How can we be touched by the hand of God? I want you to notice, each time Daniel was touched, what took place? Let's go back. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and I saw this great vision and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength, yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. Then he was touched, verse 11. And he heard the voice again. Over in verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, he heard a voice, and one touched his lips, and he heard a voice again. And then verse 18, there came one and touched me like unto the appearance, and a man... and said unto me, each time Daniel is touched by the hand of God, he hears the voice of God. Now, I don't think you need to be a theological genius to understand that God touches people's lives through the proclamation of his word. Whenever somebody is willing to take the word of God and believe it, and apply it to their life, it is as if the hand of God is touching them, putting them in a place for worship, prompting prayer, or strengthening them for service. We may not necessarily understand all the details of time, but when we take in the Word of God, we will know that in the end, God does right and it will make sense. Just need to be alone with God. Oh, by the way, go back to verse 7. When Daniel was alone with God, look where he was. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. When God appeared to Daniel, Daniel was alone in the midst of people. Let's see. Midst of people for worship, prayer, service. Now, where could we do that? Yeah, Glenn got it right. Right here. Let's pray. Father, I can't help but think of the words of David when he looked out and saw those who were unrighteous within the nation prospering. And he complained, and it didn't make sense to him. For the Word of God, as he rightly understood it, said that God would bless the righteous and not the wicked. But then the Scripture says, "And then I went into the house of the Lord and understood." Father, we don't understand why everything happens the way it does. Why things don't turn out the way we think that they should. We wonder sometimes why God permits evil. Why the nations of this world that are downright ungodly are permitted to exist, while evil men are allowed to do the things that they do without seeming divine judgment. Father, help us to be alone with You, that we might understand that You have a plan that is perfect, that You are, even at this very moment in time, working out. Cause us to worship You for Your greatness, Your power, Your sovereignty. Lord, make us people of prayer. And like Michael, those who are involved with You in the accomplishment of Your purposes, doing what You choose for us to do, even though You don't really need us. Father, may we understand the magnitude of Your love for us and how great a God You really are. Cause us to worship today in spirit and in truth. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.